Welcome to another inspirational message from Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any other resources, visit davegilpin.com.
I was in Frankfurt last Sunday. Hope City Frankfurt was amazing. Spoke there and then spoke to their leaders on Monday. And then I was back in Sheffield for a day. And then I flew to Amsterdam, and I've been speaking in a women's event in Amsterdam yesterday, which was awesome. And then I got back last night, and now I'm here. I'm here. So it's fantastic. And I sat up in my bed in Amsterdam the other night and rewrote an entire new message for this morning because God was speaking into my heart. And I'm so confident this morning that God is going to touch many, many lives. I need you to talk to your neighbour and say, get expectant. Right. So listen, this is not the half an hour tokenism you give to God in the next half an hour, 45 minutes. This is not the, I want to be thinking right now about my roast beef. This is right now, I want to think about God wants to touch my life. Okay. So this morning I was sitting up in bed as Dave was trying on his 10 T-shirt options, as he does, before he's preaching in a church in Birmingham today. And God started speaking to my heart aside from this message. And this is what God was saying to me. And he said, Jen, I am painting an incredible canvas over Hope City Church. And up to this point in proceedings, that the Holy Spirit was saying to me is that I've only drawn the black outlines. Wow. I've only drawn on that incredible canvas just the outlines of the buildings and the figures and the things in dark ink like an artist would do before he colours in. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me this morning that I'm yet, says God, to splash the colour over the life of Hope City Church. I'm yet to draw the things that give it actual character. I'm yet to draw. This is amazing, church, to think what God's already done in 23 years in 10 locations. And God said to me this morning that I have as yet to this point only drawn the black outlines. God has so much more to do, a splash of color. He's going to show us new boundaries, incredible places he wants to take us. And guess what, Hope City Church? That involves you. That involves you. I am so personally excited about the future of what God has for this house. He has much more to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has much more to do. Much more. He is not bored of touching humanity. God is not bored of touching your life. Come on, church, wake up. God's not bored about touching you. He can see you in your seat. Back row, right back there. I was standing behind you before you didn't know I was there. I actually enjoyed standing over there. I was standing over there for a little bit and I was just praying over this place, believing God to do something incredible. So recently, Dave and I put out a book called Up the Creek Without a Paddle. Now, I don't know whether you've read it, but it's a real history of the bruises and triumphs of Dave and I holding on to God over 20 years. It's the bruises and triumphs and bust-ups of arriving in England knowing nobody and starting church with 30 pounds a week to live off and believe in God. It's the story of the day I prayed for a baby bouncer to put my ADHD son in so he could bounce on a door. And the next day walking up into the loft and Dave finding a baby bouncer in the loft. It's the story of when the Sunday that we drove to church and Dave puked 5 times out of the door of the car before he got up to preach. It's the story of all sorts. It's the story of Ryan Gilpin choosing to come into the world on a Sunday morning. It's the story of Dave having been awake for 48 hours, came and watched Ryan Gilpin being born and then came to preach in church that morning. Our children like to make it inconvenient. It's the story of us selling our house to put the money in so we could buy this building. It's the story of 20 years of believing God. And when you read the book, you go, oh, isn't that nice? But when I read the book, I think, ouch, that hurt. When I read the book, I think, I've learnt not how to do that. I've learnt what not to say. I've learnt not to say to a 70-year-old pastor, I'll just go out the back and put my thongs on. Because in Australia, thongs are flip-flops. I've learnt things not to say. There's a lot of stuff that I have learnt over the years. And so it's interesting that I remember a couple of Sunday mornings I stood up here some weeks ago and said that I feel that this is not a time to turn over a new chapter. And God spoke to me and he said that it's not time to turn over a new page into a new chapter. But it's time for us to go into the sequel. Now, when you're reading a book and you turn over the page into a next chapter, there's a lot of assumptions you make. You assume about what you've learned about the characters of the previous page. There's a lot of assumptions you assume about the places and the venues, and the expectations are derived from what you've already read. Everything you think when you turn the next page into a new chapter is you think it's going to be a continuation of what gone before. When I read that book, let me tell you right now, I have no intention of doing the next 22 years like I've done the last. I don't need a baby bouncer. He's 6'3". I need to move on. God, I'm not interested in a lazy next chapter. I'm not interested in a lazy next chapter response. The next chapter is about a lazy lie down read. I'm still here and I'm slightly nodding off. The sequel is completely different. I want to create a sequel. The sequel is hotly anticipated. A sequel is Ali Bianchi waiting impatiently for the new Captain America movie to come out. A sequel is Sylvester Stallone and the new Rambo movie. The first question that would come to my mind would be, why? He's 68. And so it's hotly anticipated because you are wondering, what can a 68-year-old man add to the previous Rambo stories? A sequel is, what is Jack Bauer going to do in series 9? I've done my research, church. I don't watch any of these. But I do watch this. Oh, Helicopter Heroes, I do watch that, yes. And there's a fabulous new show out called Say Yes to the Dress. Ladies, it's just for you. But my real anticipation and excitement comes when I think about who's going to die in the next series of Downton Abbey. It's a sequel. Is somebody with me? Is there anybody feminine in the house? In this context, Hope City Church, there is something raw and new and exciting and exhilarating coming our way. And God wants us to step into it and not lie down. But we find it so easy to lie down in the comfort of yesterday's story. And God wants to move us as a house. Come on, church, into the sequel, into the exciting, into the new place, the next book, the next story. John chapter 2, I'm going to read to you about when Jesus turned water into wine. Right, into water into Ryan. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Not very often a mother would say to their son, there's no more wine, would you? Really? No, not a wise choice. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine till now. But you have kept the best wine till now. Let me tell you a little bit about the heart of God. Our God is an ever-increasing God. Our God says he takes us from glory to glory. What part of that do we not understand? I remember, well, actually, I still say this to Dave now, but I used to say it to my son, Ryan. What part of the word no do you not understand? What part of the nature of God do we not understand? God is an ever-increasing God. God is a God who promises he wants to bring out the best wine in this portion of your life. God wants to bring out the new wine and the best wine in the latter portion, in the coming portion of the life of Hope City Church. And so often we personally justify this and say, well, it's less and less. And we settle for yesterday's magnificence and don't believe God has a better future. Church, let me tell you, whatever you've seen, whatever you've experienced as a Christian, whatever you've had in your soul to this point in your life, God has the best wine still to come. God has the much more. God has the over and abundance. God has something for your life and your spirit that you've never yet experienced. Come on, church. We need to get expectant about what God wants to do. And what we do is we develop sensible lives. And we wear sensible shoes. And we manage sensible bank balances. And we develop respectable personas. And we sit in church and stop believing God for more. And I can't think of one moment in Jesus' mission when he looked respectable to anybody. Respectable is not a word that God wants in our lives. Sensible shoes are out. Even with an artificial hip. I'm here today, church, to proclaim that the best wine, the choicest of fruits, the lion's share, the biggest portion, the biggest slice of the cake is saved till now. Yeah. This is the sequel. The last laugh. The best song. The over and above. The greatest outpouring. The purest compassion. The greatest grace. The perfect healing, the most amazing opportunity, the work of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the touch of God transforming your life from the inside out. The best is yet to come. I want you to get expectant. I want you to be a church that when you pray and you go to God, you actually believe that he is going to answer what you're asking. Come on, church. I want you to be a people that you go into the secret place and you cry out to God and that you know that he is listening to your prayers and he holds them in a vault in heaven because he wants to pour his Holy Spirit out upon your life in such a dramatic way. He wants to change everything you've ever seen. I've seen some stuff and I ain't seen nothing yet. This is not the end, it's the beginning. Yeah. It's the beginning. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "This has the potential to be no fun anymore. Let me speak to you today when you don't understand, because everything's gone." Everything is gone is the full stop that demands another sentence. That's all it is. Did you hear me? All God is just a full stop that demands the next sentence. God's got more to do. Yesterday's yesterday. Tomorrow's tomorrow. His mercies are new every morning. But faith seems to have become an ethereal new age word where we somehow float about on an abyss waiting for something to happen. I want to teach you about faith this morning, church. Jesus told them that there were 6 stone water jars. He said, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. Why does Jesus not just do abracadabra? Have you ever wondered in your life, and if you've got a mind slightly like mine, have you ever wondered why Jesus doesn't grow a money tree in your back garden? Why not? Why does God not just do the Shazam? There it is, 20,000 pounds. You didn't need to do anything. Just land it in your lap. Jesus said to these people, "Go and fill the pots." Cash is not the currency of heaven. Faith is. We need to raise our expectation. Faith demands action. You know, it's interesting. In another passage, let me read to you this verse, John chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. And this is when Jesus was doing a miracle. And this is what it says. He says, "Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And then he told him, 'Go and wash yourself in the pool of Siloam.' So the man went and washed and came back seeing." Let's break this story apart for a moment, church. First up, Jesus spit and put mud on a blind guy's eyes, smudged it across his face. How would you like it if I decided at the end of this service that my new ministry was spit and polish? Wouldn't be pleasant, would it? You know, like, your kids hate it, don't you? You know, when they're little and you... And then as an adult, you try to do it to them and they're like, "Oh, don't come near me." Do you know when Ryan was little, I cut his hair once. But I didn't cut just his hair, I cut the top of his ear. And he never allowed me near him. Don't open your mouth, you've all done it too. Let's think about how the blind man thought. He said, "Jesus, first up, let's just look at this here." Look, probably not the right word when you're blind. Let's think about this here, Jesus. Firstly, Jesus, I'd like to remind you that I can't see. And what are you doing having a laugh at my expense? I can't tell, I can't see what actually you've put on my face, but it doesn't feel good. And secondly, I think you missed the obvious here. I am blind, and you are telling me to go to some pool and wash myself. Yeah. Have we ever thought about it, church? Elephant in room. Elephant in room. Blind man, go to the pool of Siloam. How do blind man get to pool of Siloam? Can't see. But Jesus required him to do something, to get from spit to Siloam. He required something of him. And guess what Siloam means? It means sent. You got to push through to the pool called sent. You got to push through every demon shouting at you that destiny does not call your life. You got to go. Let me tell you a story about City Hearts. 10 years ago when it was just a dream. And I said to God, how do I start this? And guess what the Holy Spirit said to me? Just start. Yeah. Not rocket science. It's just faith. Yeah. Yeah. So we took up an offering. And Colleen Brownlee and I, Colleen Daly then, opened a house with one girl. Because God just said start. Faith is not hard. Faith is making a decision to move from saliva to siloam. And sometimes it's not easy. The blind man could not see. He couldn't see where he's going, but he worked out a way. He determined in his heart that God had spoken to him. And he worked out a way to get from mud to seeing. He worked out a way from getting from just lines drawn on the canvas of Hope City Church to color. He stepped out. He moved on. He moved through. Your new wine is your next big step. There's a whole new season of ministry, whole new season and segment of your life, which you haven't lived yet. It's the sequel. It's the place where we choose to live when we leave yesterday and embrace the new. Let me tell you about my new season. I have an empty nest season, except for a husband that still does handstands in the hot tub. Do you know Dave had a middle ear infection, church, the other week because he'd been doing too many handstands and somersaults in the hot tub at 54. Years old. And you know what he's done now? He's bought some earplugs. Because he's not stopping. No underwater competitions. The current record is 2 minutes 40 underwater without coming up. I have to sit there and the things I have to do. Church, I have to sit there and time your senior pastor, Chen, see how long I can stay under the water for. So childish. So now he's bought some earplugs so he can keep going at his world record attempt to kill himself underwater. I'm in an empty nest season, except that child I've just mentioned. I'm in a grandma season. I'm embraced. No, there's no news. Don't worry. I'm JD's little grandma. Well, larger grandma. I'm in a season where I realize I'm watching the next generation bear the next generation. I have to stand and cheer. This is not my season to do anything else but cheer you on. It's a know who I am season. God spoke into my spirit and said, Jen, it's about time you acted like a general and not a foot soldier. He said, Jenny, you are pilfering people in the life of Hope City Church out of a job. Because you're doing what they ought to be doing. Wow. Sometimes God speaks to me quite clearly. I know my season. My new season. You can't keep living in yesterday's book. Dave said the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to him in his life when he was about 16 and he walked home with some of his mates and the curtains of his lounge were wide open and his father was dancing in the lounge room to ABBA. He should have known better. There comes a time when you close the curtains. When you sing to ABBA. You've got to know where you are. You've changed. Yeah. It's a compliment.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
You know when your relatives and your... You've changed. You've changed, Gary. Yeah. You've changed. And you know what you need to say? Thanks. Yeah. Too many of us are doing the splits between seasons. And none of us look attractive with split trousers. We're hanging on to things of the old because we think if we let them go to embrace the sequel, we think if we let them go that something's going to happen, but God's waiting to catch you. He's standing in your future. He's painting a picture over your future life right now today, and he's waiting for you to leap into it. It looks a lot less attractive when your jeans are ripped down your derriere because you're splitting between yesterday and tomorrow. I don't want to see your underwear. I don't. Let's take a leap as a church. Let's move into this sequel. It's time up. Time to pick up our mats and walk on. Do you know in the Bible, and I'm almost finished and we're going to pray. In the Bible, there's that story about the Pool of Bethesda. And I remember some years ago, I was at an event and I wasn't really enjoying it. And I was there because I thought I ought to be there. And God said to me, there are some pools that you are not meant to hang around. And all they do is reflect your humanity. Pick up your mat, jog on. Let me speak into your spirit a word from heaven this morning. Jog on. Jog on. What you doing hanging around yesterday's blessing? What you doing hanging on to the things God's given you? You're meant to be a channel, not a plug. Let go. Move on. Allow God to move you into your future. Jog on, church. Dust yourself down and move. There's new wine, new promises, new places, new venues, new jobs, new provision. We're no longer to camp around the last chapter, but we're going to erase our expectations and embrace the sequel. We're going to push through to the pool called Sent. We're not going to hang around our history. We're going to create history. I'm bored with the last 23 years. It just bores me now. We need to write a new book. We are embracing the rocky path between the slap of saliva and the sequel. We're determined to push through to the place called Sent. We're going to adjust. We're going to alter. We're going to hunger. And we're going to expect. Now, you say, well, that was a nice word. It wasn't meant to be. There's some changes that we need to make in our lives to move into the sequel. You're staring at me as if I've got three heads. I don't. I have four. Some changes we need to make. There's some things we need to do. There's some letting go of stuff. Some of you that have been on the journey with Dave and I for a long time, you're bored. Come on. You're never too old to write a new story. Look at my husband. He's doing handstands. He's 54. Time you got yourself a hot tub and gave it a go. And you think I'm joking? Because you're past daring. Some of us are past, some of us are in our 60s and 70s and past daring. I'd like to see you guys do something ridiculous for God. Come on. I dare you. Dare you, church. Let's stand. You know in your heart what God's speaking into your world. Alison Whedon, there's a new chapter for you. There is a new chapter for your life. And it's not going to look like what the past. And you've been saying to people recently, and I've not been in this conversation, so I don't know. You've been saying to people recently, I want to change, but I don't know what. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And there's a certain security that's in your life that's appealing to you. But God is challenging your security. And he's saying, Alison, I want you to dare. I want you to step into the land of dreams. I want you to go to God and say, God, what have you got for me in this incredible season of my life? In this season of your life, you have wisdom of years. Wisdom of years. You've got such a deposit of the Holy Spirit within your life. And time after time you doubt that. And God would say to you today, don't doubt what I've deposited within you in Jesus' name. God's got a big future for you. Step out in Jesus' name. We're going to sing. we're going to worship. And God, the Holy Spirit, is going to begin to speak into your spirit about what you need to do in your life to step into your sequel. For some of you, it's radical. For some of you, it's just turning up on time to church. That'd change some stuff, wouldn't it? Okay, let's worship God. Lift your hands.
Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blows. For more information, visit hopecitychurch.tv.